Seasoned travellers who tune into Correspondents Report each week will no doubt be concerned about the future of Australia's national carrier Qantas. The airline recently posted a $235 million half-year profit loss and said it would axe an additional 5,000 jobs. At the same time, the federal government rejected a bid from Qantas to guarantee its debt, but has agreed to repeal laws that cap its foreign ownership at 49%, something unlikely to pass the Senate. But now, as Qantas becomes mired in political debate, Australians are asking if the once iconic airline can survive. The ABC's business editor Peter Ryan and ABC correspondent in the 1990s asks, where to now for Qantas?
For most ABC correspondents, boarding a Qantas 747, or perhaps more recently a Qantas A380, is often the first memory of a usually hard-fought but ultimately exciting post overseas. Packing up your life in Australia, farewelling families and friends, while feeling the pressure to hit the ground running to win over critics back home, can fade temporarily in that unreal world of long-haul travel. Even better if your seat allocation is at the pointy end. Qantas, of course, was once an essential part of overseas jaunts for business and government travellers, and for many Australians, boarding the Flying Kangaroo was a welcome comfort that felt like home. But as aviation has become a globalised business, badly damaged by the terrorist attacks of September 2001, Qantas, like most national carriers, has struggled to maintain its once iconic status. Greater competition, cheaper seats and savvy travellers who expect more for less while venting their opinions on sites like TripAdvisor means profit margins have narrowed. And in recent years, Qantas has been making heavy losses on its international business. Now its once lucrative domestic business is under pressure and Qantas is in a loss-making war to maintain its 65% market share over Australian skies. Its chief rival, Virgin Australia, which began as a cut-price airline in the wake of the Ansett collapse, is now enticing corporate customers to come on board. And late last year, even the ABC sidelined Qantas to make Virgin its preferred domestic airline. The sad reality is that life is getting tougher by the day for Qantas, and just a few weeks ago it posted a half-year loss of $235 million and announced the axing of 5,000 additional jobs as part of a $2 billion restructuring program. Standard & Poor's downgraded its credit rating to junk on the day Nelson Mandela died, meaning Qantas can no longer claim to be the only investment-grade airline left in the world. So how did Qantas get into this mess? The most obvious answer is that this is a free market and the forces of supply and demand are at work. And after all, Qantas is listed on the share market as one of Australia's top 100 companies by market value, though getting closer to the tail end of that list. But the other more complex part of the story is that Qantas remains shackled by government regulation through the Qantas Sale Act of 1992, which restricts foreign ownership to 49%. Virgin, on the other hand, has been able to attract significant foreign investment and list three state-owned airlines as its top three investors: Air New Zealand, Etihad and Singapore Airlines. Combined, they own more than 60% of Virgin stock and have signalled interest in perhaps buying more. Qantas has been furiously lobbying the federal government to have the Qantas Sale Act repealed or amended so it can compete on a level playing field with Virgin. But the messages became mixed when Qantas also urged the government to provide a standby debt guarantee, where Qantas would use the government's sovereign credit rating to borrow at a more attractive rate than junk. The proposal sparked a national debate over whether any flavour of government should risk potentially owning the debt if Qantas ever defaulted. Not surprisingly, Virgin's chief executive John Borghetti said he'd be on the phone asking for the same treatment within 24 hours if the Qantas bid was approved. But providing that debt facility was never going to fly with federal cabinet once the Prime Minister ran his if not one, why not all argument on the day Qantas announced 5,000 job cuts. While Tony Abbott did agree to repeal the Qantas Sale Act, he did so knowing there's little or no chance that the Senate would pass it. So Qantas knows its campaign is mired in politics more than ever, and that the government is using its repeal of the Qantas Sale Act as a political wedge against Labor. But even if Labor did agree to back the Sale Act repeal, it would almost certainly find itself in a war with trade unions, especially if any new legislation saw more Qantas jobs move offshore, along with maintenance, the Qantas head office, and maybe even the Qantas board. And while the government's move to amend the Qantas Sale Act is significant, it comes after both the Prime Minister and Treasurer urged Qantas to get its house in order. That's seen as code for workplace reform, as the government continues to question the age of entitlement and sections of enterprise agreements relating to troubled companies such as SPC Ardmona and Toyota. And in the background, calls are growing louder for Alan Joyce to quit as the airline's long-serving chief executive. The Irish-born Australian citizen, who controversially grounded the entire Qantas fleet in late 2011, is vowing to stay on. Alan Joyce once joked in his first ABC interview as Qantas boss back in 2008 that he took a hospital pass from his tough-talking predecessor, Geoff Dixon. The question now is whether any corporate warrior would have the nerve or stamina to take a hospital pass from Alan Joyce. This is Peter Ryan for Correspondence Report.